So tonight I wanted to talk about the battle within and the war without. And what I've been kind of, I don't want to say I was wrestling through, but just something that I feel like we don't touch on enough. You know, if you look around and we have the devil's behind every bush mentality, and I hate it, it bothers me. Oh, it's the devil, it's the devil. Hey, I robbed a bank and I went to jail. Oh, it's the devil. No, it's not. I don't know where we get this mentality where everything is a devil. And I'm not saying that the devil's not messing with you, but he's so good at what he does. He doesn't really have to work that really hard. All he just does is throw a thought in your mind and you take care of the rest. And he's like, man, this is pretty easy. But not everything is the devil, but also not everything is you. And so, you know, I'm watching TV and going through Instagram and just going through stuff. It seems like everybody has a mental issue. Oh, they can't sit still. They got ADHD. They got schizo. We have all these mental diagnoses. We got all these blamings. We got all these, oh, well, I'm a sex addict, or I'm this, or I'm that. And what I've been wrestling with the Lord, not in a bad way, like, it's like, why aren't we talking about the two enemies? We all know the devil, but we have another enemy that we don't talk about enough, and that's the flesh. And so tonight we're going to talk about the battle within, which is the flesh and the devil, and how to distinguish them. So it's kind of like, have you ever felt like you were fighting a battle and you couldn't see? You couldn't really understand what was going on, but you knew you're struggling with something. I was like, oh, it's fear, it's anxiety, it's this or that. You know, have you ever woken up wanting to do better? Oh, man, today I'm going to do good. I'm not going to sin. And you stumble. Oh, I'm going to pray. You know, people are like, oh, Josh, this. I'm like, how do you know you love something? It's easy to do. Oh, I love to watch Netflix. It's easy to do. But go say, hey, I'm going to do an hour prayer service. Your flesh is like, heck no. I got pleasures that I want to handle. Like, we ain't doing this. And so you might live right, but you feel like something is always pulling you back. The question is, what's really going on? Is it just our own weakness, or is it the devil after you? And so many times we have, even in the church, and I've seen leadership blame the devil for something that he had nothing to do. Oh, I had an affair with somebody. Don't blame the devil on that. That was you being stupid. That was you feeding the flesh. But here's the truth. Every believer is in two battles at the same time. Sorry, guys, you're in a war. Whether you like it or not, I know, but we don't need spiritual warfare. You're in a battle. One is eternal. Heard that, Shiloh. One is eternal. The fight with your flesh, which is your sinful desires, your old nature that doesn't want to die. And the other is external. The fight with the devil, which the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the tempter, the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you don't know the difference, you might be misguided or misdiagnosed the struggle. And you don't know how to pray into a situation. There's something we need to realize in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is run by laws. And they are stringent on those laws. There's no deviation from spiritual laws. Just like we have laws here on earth. We have physical laws. If I jump off this building, and I've used this before, I'm not breaking that law at all. At all. You will all be coming to my funeral. You can't break that law. People try to break it. I mean, there's ways to bend it. You know, we have airplanes, but that you're not really breaking the law, the physical law of gravity. Yes, bumblebees, Tiffany. But just like in the earthly, in the physical realm, there's laws. The spiritual realm has laws. For example, I don't care what the world says, God created sex between a man and a woman, which when two flesh become one, there's a covenant. Okay? There's a covenant. This is a totally different subject, and we'll go on this one day. And this would freak people out. But so many times we give over inheritance because we sleep with 1,000 people. Because the Bible says, two flesh becomes one, part of your inheritance goes to your spouse. That's why you get married. You're married for life. Death do you part. That's it. That's why we have all these younger generation. They jump from woman to woman, from man to man. They have all these partners. I'm watching Seinfeld right now. Not saying go watch Seinfeld. I'm bored at night. I'm tired. You need something to veg out on. And I made the comment to Tiffany, and it's like with all those old 96, I mean, we do it nowadays, but like Friends, Seinfeld, How I Met Your Mother, they jump in bed with everybody. I say every episode they have somebody else. And I'm like, this is crazy. How by season 10, shouldn't Jerry have AIDS or something? Shouldn't Kramer have syphilis? Like, how did you go? I mean, this doesn't make sense. But what's happening is because the covenant, it's a marriage, a covenant, they become one. It's a covenant bond. We're doing what should have been reserved for marriage outside of marriage. Now, the spiritual realm doesn't care whether you're just, I just like them, or it's a one-night stand, or I was drunk, or I was this. Spiritual realm don't care. That's a covenant. Sorry. We don't read the fine print. That's why you have soul ties and all this stuff. And that's a whole different stuff. But what I'm getting at is so many times we blame the devil for something that's really our flesh. We want to blame the devil. Oh, the devil did this, where we need to take responsibility for ourselves. Sometimes we're rebuking the devil when you really need to be rebuking or crucifying the flesh. Other times, you're blaming yourself. I know believers who blame, it's just me, it's this, I did this. And I'm like, it's not you. You're just going through the battle Satan's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. It's spiritual attack. But tonight, we're going to just talk about and expose the two enemies, really briefly. The one inside and the one coming against you. Because once you can tell the difference between the battle within and the war without, you can finally start winning the war. Oh, that's not the devil. I just need to crucify the flesh. Oh, that's not me. That's the devil just trying to do his job, steal, kill, and destroy. But we often confuse where our battles come from. Is it a spiritual warfare, or is it just me giving into temptation? Understanding the difference between the flesh and the devil is critical to victory in Christ. So here we go, defining the enemies. Number one, you have the flesh. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Galatians chapter 5, my favorite. Galatians chapter 5, or as we say now, open your Bibles, your tablets, your iPhones, Androids, your watches, your iPads, your Meta Specs, your Apple glasses. It's amazing what we had the Bible on. You can't say, you can't be an American and be like, I don't have access to a Bible. Yeah, that's a lie. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. This is what it says. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek him and be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition of each other, continually in conflict, so that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things you want to do. So the flesh is your sinful nature, the part of you that still wants to do wrong, even after you're saved. Let's be honest. We all love Jesus in here. And you don't have to hold your hand up or anything like that, okay? There's times you want to, you go to, you know, you want to eat a little bit more than you should. Or you're at the beach and you see Brother Boo Boo or Sister Foo Foo walk by in that skimpy thing, and you're a believer. Your flesh is like, yes. But you know you're not supposed to look. Or it could be, hey, we all notice you at the office water cooler. Did you hear about Susan? Ooh, gossip. Who loves gossip? This is all fleshly, sinful fleshly desires. It doesn't, you know, you don't need a demon to tempt it. The flesh tempts itself. If Deanne said, hey, don't tell anybody, but I got something to tell you. Everybody's going to perk up. I love Jesus, but even I'm all, ooh, spill the tea, sister. We all want to know the tea. The flesh doesn't need the devil. If I'm watching TV and Victoria's Secret models come on, the devil's not like, hey, Josh, you should watch it. Guess what? My flesh is like, hey, yo, I think we should watch this. It's that simple. If you're, you know, you get angry and fly off the handle, sometimes it's your flesh being, I'm selfish, that person made me mad, and I want retribution now. The devil's just like, I don't have a job in this situation. But we always want to blame the devil. Well, the devil tempted me with that fine girl at the beach or that handsome, muscly guy at the gym. No, the devil didn't do that. Gossiping is an example of fleshly desires. We all love gossip. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? And this is like, you know, I follow a lot of people on Instagram, but it seems like all these Christian folk, today I just want to expose, so this other pastor did this. And I'm like, we sure as, and these are people that, you know, have great ministries. And I'm like, why are we always talking about somebody? And we use the phrase, well, it's I'm not gossiping. I just wanna help people so they can make the right. Dude, that's gossip. Okay. If you're walking down the street and you see a big pile of dog poop, and I came behind and put like some sprinkles on it and say, hey, this is ice cream. It's not ice cream, it's not a sundae, it's still poop. You can't like sugarcoat it. And we try to sugarcoat gossip. Oh, hey, Lord, let me tell you about so-and-so. Now, I'm not here to gossip or anything like that. I'm just trying to help you. Gossip's gossip. I can't sugarcoat that. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You hit the nail on the head. That is, oh, my goodness. I hear that so much. Hey, Deanne, let me tell you something so you could pray for them. Stacy, I saw Stacy at the gym. She was with somebody that was not her husband. Better pray for her. Like, shut up. You ain't praying for nobody. Lusting after people, lying. That is not, lying over stuff. People, this is my thing, especially with Christian folk. 10 people get saved. Hey, guys, I want to, you know, they're doing I see this a lot on Facebook people. 5 people show up to the event. We had hundreds of souls saved today. I could count all the people on my hand. I was there. How were you going to say hundreds of people got saved, 5 people showed up? Why are we lying? I don't care if people say, well, it's just a little white lie. We don't need to lie. Don't lie to your kids. There's a Santa Claus. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm gonna get censored. Don't tell your kids there's an Easter bunny. The bunny didn't die and raise up 3 days and sitting on the right hand of the Father. It wasn't a rabbit. The only thing a rabbit is good for is stew. Oh, tricks are for kids, silly rabbit. Gossiping, lusting, lying. These things happen not because a demon made you. It's because it's what our uncrucified desires want. A demon isn't, oh, I want to hear this. It's your uncrucified flesh. Your flesh wants to look at something pretty. Your flesh wants to hear that juicy gossip about the pastor or about the usher or about your boss. Your flesh wants to uplift itself and say lies so it'll get out of trouble. Did you do that? I mean, our kids are great at that. Did you do that? No, I didn't do that. My kids are great at that. Who ate my chocolate? Chocolate all over the face. Man, I don't know who did that. Was it me? You got chocolate all your face. Nah, I don't know how that's not chocolate. It's a mud mask. I'm trying to exfoliate. James 1:14 says this. It says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away from their own away by their own evil desire. Let's go through some scripture. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, they must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Follow me. What does that mean? Deny yourself, crucify the flesh. When you're sitting in a prayer time, in an hour of prayer, your flesh is going to say, hey, let's think about what I'm going to watch on TV. What's that? You have to say, no, I'm here to pray. I got business to do. I'm getting after stuff. Galatians 5:24, for those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Ephesians 4:22, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. He says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Galatians 5:24, again, Paul, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and desire. Oh, actually, I did that one twice. So your first enemy is your flesh. Flesh don't need the devil to tempt it. The flesh is going to do what the flesh wants to do. We have to deny our flesh. The second enemy you have to worry about, which is your outer enemy, is the devil. Ephesians 6:11-12 says, put on the full armor of God against the schemes of the devil. The devil operates externally through temptations, lies, accusations, and spiritual attacks. He leverages your weakness, which is your flesh, but it's not the same thing as your flesh. So he's going to tempt you with lies and accusations, just like Eve. Did God really say not to eat this? Did he really say if you eat this, you will be like him? Come on, it's lies and deceit. Good example. My flesh doesn't do this. This is the enemy. I'll go out and I'll be doing something, and Tiffany goes out, and I'll give you a good example. Tiffany was talking to somebody, talking about worship. They're getting their worship plans again. They're always talking about worship. Always talking about worship. And one day, yeah, everybody knows who. One day, I just blurted out, "They're not here to defend themselves." So. I knew nothing was going on, but one day I said, and this was again, it's the enemy. Through temptations, lies, accusations, spiritual, this is a lie. Something's going on. So I'm like, hey, Tiffany, I just being smart out. Everybody knows me, man. I think sarcasm's funny. I was sarcastic as heck. I hope you care about me when I die, or something like that. And she looked at me like, what? I'm like, you're always on the phone with that person. You always talk about what you always do. What about me? And she's like, now, was there any basis or grounds for anything inappropriate? No. That person would call me all the time. Hey, your wife called. We talked about this. I want you to know. I mean, this person was very straight up. Nothing is happening. He would call me. He was a man of honor. But the enemy put a lie in my head. Hey, something's going on. Has that happened in your own life? It could be accusations. Oh, you're not spiritual enough. Oh, Pastor Josh hasn't given you the microphone to speak a word. You're not spiritual enough. Oh, you're not prophetic enough. You're not good enough. You're not cut out enough. Oh, you're a this or that. All this stuff. Could just be spiritual attacks, getting sick. Tax on your finances, all that stuff. For example, spiritual heaviness. Have you ever gone through a season where you're just spiritually heavy? It's not that your flesh is doing it. It's just the devil putting spiritual heaviness, burdens on you. You're just like, I'm just so spiritually wiped. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. Not that I don't want to spiritually. It's just I'm so tired. I'm being attacked day in and day out. Spiritual heaviness. Sometimes it's tormenting thoughts. just, I've been in Mexico, and it ain't my flesh either. This is why you got to know what is what. Last trip I was in Mexico. I didn't know this until Tiffany told me later on, but I woke up like at 1 a.m. I was being physically attacked. I was dizzy. I was sick. I was like, something is going on. I said, this is crazy. I'm being attacked. So I put on my, I just prayed, put on my headphones, put my worship on, and just, I don't have this issue there. It wasn't a flesh deal. It was the enemy. He was bringing tormenting thoughts. He was making me sick. There was spiritual warfare there. Sometimes there's sudden fear without cause. The world likes to call it anxiety. You know what? Have you ever just been doing something and you're just like, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if I take this job and this happens and my dog leaves and then my video games break and then my husband decides to do this and I can't go to church? And your head just, fear without cause. The devil lies keep you in bondage. You will never be free. God's done with you, etc., etc. There's people in this community, in this house that I hear, I'm not worthy enough. I'm just like, what? It's a lie of the enemy. So how do we tell the difference? The flesh tempts through desires, feelings like craving, impulses, or habits. Maybe you have a habit of lying. Maybe you have a shopping impulse. I feel like I get a shopping impulse every now and then. Yes, my wife is like, I'll just be like, la, 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 I gotta buy something. But guess what the world says? You have ADHD. ADHD people have a shopping impulse. How is that? That's not an ADHD. That's your flesh saying, hey, let's go buy some useless crap and spend some money that will give you a little bit of pleasure for a little while. Luckily, in my defense, video games are getting so expensive now. My flesh is like, ooh, we can't pay those prices. You better bootleg some games. You better go play some old stuff. You'll have cravings. Sometimes you just have a craving for ice cream. You might just have a hankering for ice cream, which I do sometimes. I was at work the other day. I was sitting there, I was doing my stuff. I had some food, and, Tosh is there, and we're all talking. I was like, my parasites are telling me I need some sugar. They just looked at me. I said, yeah, I want some sugar. I need some ice cream, something. Maybe you have a habit. You have a habit of mutilation. And I'll tell you this. I was at the store the other day. We were picking up some food at the Dollar Tree. Beautiful black girl. Beautiful girl. I was like, man, that's a really beautiful girl. And we were talking, and she was checking us out. And I looked. She had cuts all up her arm. And I'm like, and I got in the car, and I looked at Tiffany. I said, beautiful girl, beautiful young girl. Who told her she was ugly? Who told her a lie against self-identity that where to the point where she had to cut herself because of the pain, the shame, or whatnot? The flesh tempts through desires. It's often predictable and tied to past or personality. So desires. Most people know my struggles and my addictions in my past. So guess what? There's TV shows I don't watch because I know, yeah, that's going to stir up something. I don't know where we get where, I mean, I know people who have like prostitute ministries going to strip clubs and does ministry. Yeah, that's not going to be me. I know my flesh should be like, hallelujah. I can't do that. But I can go to a bar. I don't have a part with drinking. I can go to a bar and there's no problem. There's no nothing. Nothing's going to affect me there. But I know other brothers who struggled with that, who love Jesus now, stay away from that. Hey, man, we're going to go witness to some people in a bar. They would struggle. Why? And I talk to a lot of people. I don't do this. I know a lot of brothers. Hey, I don't do this, this, and that because I know where I came from. The flesh also works through our body and our mind. Again, looking at stuff, feeling stuff, wanting to feel pleasure. We want this. We want to feel good. We want to do this. We want to do that. The devil attacks through deception. He plants thoughts that don't originate from you. Case in point, have you ever been talking to someone and the most vile thoughts about that person come into your mind? Well, I mean, let's just, I've had it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, I'm so super spiritual. I've never, nothing's happened to me. I've been talking to people and a thought will come into my head. I'm like, that is not from me. Where did that, that's the enemy. That's the devil. His voice is condemning, shaming, and accusing. You might be, oh, man, if it's shame, if it's confusion, if it's accusing, it's from the devil. Well, you did this. You're not worthy. This, that, that's from the enemy. You could be getting prayed for in a prayer line, and the enemy will sow a thought, you really didn't get set free. I'm still here. He often brings confusion, isolation, fear, or tempts with a strategic moment. I'll get to that one in a second because I got a big bone with that one. There might be time you're reading scripture or somebody's speaking something and there's confusion. What? I'm confused. Did Jesus say that? Or you could be at work and you're confused. Or it could be just confused. Have you ever had just confusion? Like, get up someday, you're just like, man, I know I'm supposed to go to church today and do this, but you're just so confused. It's the enemy. He also does with isolation. I don't think as believers we should be isolated. Now, there might be times where God pulls us away into the wilderness when let him nourish us and just be with us and minister us, but technically you're not isolated. But I know Christians who are like, oh, man, I don't like the way the church is run, so they just isolate themselves. Isolation would get you in trouble. Or the enemy will tempt you with strategic moments. Case in point, and here's probably where I'll get cut off. That's all right. That's why we record stuff. 2020, you have the pandemic. You saw churches bow the knee to what the government said about injections, boosts, vaccines, closing doors. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a pandemic. Oh, my goodness. We can't have church. We got some that stood their ground, but we had a lot that bent the knee. Oh, we're going to close for safety. Oh, we're gonna shut down for safety. We're going to stay six. I mean, I was in Mexico during the height of COVID. I was in Mexico on a missions trip. Came back totally fine. Now, the first time we all got jacked up. But we're still here. But my point is this. I think I lost count of like five or six COVID times. We got COVID, something like that. Yeah, it seems like every 6 months we were getting COVID. We just gave up counting. But here's the point I'm making. It didn't stop us. We still went out. I actually enjoyed it. It was the best time to be alive. There was no traffic. Especially here in San Antonio, I can go to a park. Parks where nobody was there, if they were even open. Some were open. I mean, it was nice. I can go from one side of the city to the other side of the city, 15 minutes. I'm like, man, this is nice. I ain't a car. Ooh, go to the grocery store, living life, just buying, la, 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 la. Put a mask on. Okay, whatever. Sometimes he'll do strategic moments. I'll even use today, right now, on paper, you can look. People are saying, oh, we got a recession. Oh, we got an economic collapse. Oh, the tariffs, all of this. And so you start making decisions that are contrary to the word of God because the enemy's trying to sow fear. This isn't a time to be fearful. So how do we fight these? Oh, sweet. I will end early. And Shiloh will make sure that I end early. So how do we fight? Number one, we got to crucify the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So here's how you do it. Starve it, don't feed it, set boundaries. You got to starve your flesh. If you got to, I'll say this. I know people who don't, believers, who don't believe in fasting. Fasting is a great way to starve your flesh. You want to hear the voice of the Father great and with clarity, go on a fast. Just, not even just the spiritual implications, the physical implications of intermittent fasting and fasting does such great wonders to your body because your body wants sugar. Your parasites want some good pan dulce and, you know, tres leches. Ooh, this is Texas. I had some in Mexico that was really horrible. I was like, ooh. Your parasites want the Freddy's custards, Freddy's frozen custards. I had that the other day. Oh, my goodness. That ice cream was, like, smooth. I was like, this is top of the line. This is really good ice cream. It didn't even taste like it was just smooth. I had a mint M&M. Yeah, my parasites were all, woohoo, sugar. But you have to starve it. When you're working out, you starve your body. If you really want to do it properly. When you do stuff, you starve the body. If you have an addiction, you starve the body. If you're a smoker, what are you doing? You stop smoking. You starve the flesh of its pleasures. Don't feed it. Oh, just one time will be okay. Oh, just wait. Well, just one. This will be the last time. You can't do it. You got to set boundaries. Here's the biggest thing, especially with guys. I tell guys all the time, they don't like hearing this. I'm like, look, dude, I know where I came from. I know what I've done. I set boundaries in my life. You have to set. I don't watch these. Tiffany can watch these shows. Other people can watch these shows. I don't watch this. I don't go certain places. I don't do certain things because I set boundaries. When I go somewhere, if I'm talking to somebody, that's why, you know, I fussed that tip. I was like, man, we got too many women at our church. I can't disciple nobody. Because you're not going to hear from me unless you're in a group message. Why? Because I set boundaries. If you get a text from me, I mean, unless it's like Cindy, who I'll talk to. She's like a grandma. But what I'm saying is you have so many pastors. I mean, me and Kelvin were talking about this. We both of us were just talking about stories. We know pastors who will counsel women privately, quietly. I mean, we were talking about known pastors who have had downfalls. And it's just like, why would you do that? Why would you put yourself in a position? There's actually an African pastor who would have women come up and, if you want a prophetic word, come on up. Oh, take your clothes off so you can hear the Lord. I mean, and stuff would happen. You got to set boundaries. So when I'm calling people, if I'm talking to ladies, you're in a three-way conversation with Tiffany. Tiffany's in that group. She sees exactly, boom, boom, boom. So there, because that's the enemy. You got to set boundaries. If you're a husband, I believe if you're a husband, you're a married man, you don't need to go on, oh man, you don't need to have, I hate this. I hate this in the workforce. You have a work husband or a work wife. You should never have a work husband or a work wife. There's cards. Happy birthday to my work. I was looking cards for a birthday for someone. Right. Happy birthday to my work husband or work wife. It's a real thing. A work husband or work wife is, you may not be, well, some people are romantically involved, but it's just an emotional connection. I've seen TV shows, which I crack up laughing, and I forgot what show we were watching. It was a comedy, and, you know, they come home, and the wife is introducing the husband to the work husband. Hi, whatever the husband's name. This is my work husband, so-and-so. And I'm like, yikes, you know? I mean, that's just weird. And what it is like, because you're at work 9 hours a day, 8 hours a day, you form this relationship. You talk, you giggle, you share, oh man, my wife didn't do this, or my husband did this, all the kids are this, and you bond a connection, but that's still wrong. This is my best friend. No, your best friend is your spouse, plain and simple. Oh man, we got to have a girls' night. I think that's all hogwash. That's just stupid. Got to have a boys' day, man. It's all stupid. I'm not saying that you can't go hang out with your girls or go hang out with your boys, but there's people who are like, we're going out. We're going to Vegas for the weekend. I'm like, you're not setting boundaries, and your flesh is going to be like, yeah, buddy. Solomon said, do not waken my beloved before it is time, because he understood the power of sexual desire. And so it doesn't matter what it is. We have to set boundaries. If you're an old alcoholic, don't go do ministry with in bars. Sometimes you got to be a daddy and a pastor. One more week and then we'll be out that hotel, hopefully. You have to set boundaries. How do we do that? You walk in the Spirit. You read, you pray, you obey. Read scripture, read the word. Get that in yourself. So when you hear dumb doctrine, when you hear Sister Fufu or Brother Boo Boo, come on, it's just a cup of coffee. It'll be all right. You can be like Joseph and run. You got to pray. Lord, help me with these temptations. Help me to crucify the flesh and obey. Turn that TV off. Turn Instagram off. Instagram's like, it's a horrible, I've had to, luckily I've found ways to do it, but the algorithm's horrible if you're a guy. Like, I was talking to my boss and he was like, man, because I'll monitor his social media stuff and I'll post stuff and stuff like that for him. And he's like, hey man, can you go through, I got all these girls, like bikini models, you know, all these fitness models. And I'm like, yeah, that's me too. That's the plight of being a male on Instagram. You're just going to see. And other than that, I think me and Tiffany were talking about breastfeeding one time. What did my algorithm have the next day? Breastfeeding. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, what? You have to obey. So a lot of young guys, a lot of Christian believers, a lot of men and women, I know the Holy Spirit says not to go with that person, but I'm just going to do it. I have the strength. I have the willpower. Okay, yeah. It's not, the object isn't to see how close to sin you can get. It's how far away you can stay. Oh, it's okay. I can talk to that person. It's okay. Oh, it's okay. I can do this. It's obey. When the Holy Spirit says, I know pastors, different pastors who have gotten off Instagram. They said, because it's too much. I just got off. You obey. The Holy Spirit says, don't watch this movie. You don't watch this movie. You just don't do it. Next time is the next way that we resist is resist the devil. James 4:7, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Don't entertain his lies. If he's speaking lies to you, don't entertain them. I guess he's right. Maybe I am unworthy. Maybe I can't be a pastor because I'm a female. Maybe I can't be all the stupid lies that are out there. Don't entertain the lies. Speak truth. Use the word worship with worship through warfare. You got to speak truth. If there's lies, accusations, deceit, you got to speak truth. I am the righteousness of Jesus. We like to get in that. The enemy likes to throw us in that cesspool. Well, you're just a sinner. You're a sinner saved by grace. Actually, you really need to go do a word study in that. Paul was saying, when I was a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. We're not a sinner anymore. We've been justified because of the blood of Jesus. So the devil will say, well, you're still this, Laura. You're still this, Hope. You're still this. We have to speak truth. No, I am the righteousness of Christ. No, I am a child of God. No, I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. We have to speak truth. We use the word. Sometimes you just got to worship through warfare. You can be going through hell on earth. You got to hit on that. You got to put in that worship music. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you got to worship. So why does this matter? If you blame the devil on everything, you'll never take personal responsibility. That's the biggest key. There's so many believers that want to blame somebody else, something else, or the devil when it's all their own stuff. Oh, man, I got 10 kids. It's just so hard. It's just this, this, and that. No, you couldn't keep your legs closed. Don't blame somebody else. Let's just call it for how it is. Oh, well, I can't stop smoking. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop cussing. Take responsibility. We always want to shirk responsibility. Oh, it's the devil. It's my boss. It's my wife. She made me do it. It's my husband. He just upset me, so I flew off the handle. Take responsibility for yourself. If you blame yourself for everything, but the flip side, the other side of the coin, if you blame yourself for everything, you'll miss the reality of spiritual warfare. The enemy might just be attacking you. Oh, it's just me. You'll have that Eeyore mentality. It's just another bad day. I guess. Okay. And you miss that it ain't you. It's the devil attacking who you are. He's attacking your identity. Maturing in Christ means discerning the source so you can fight the right way. It's that simple. You need to know who you're fighting. If we are fighting, if we got into a war right now, and you know, Trump's like, I don't know who we're fighting. You know what, guys? He closes his eyes and throws a dart at a dartboard. All right, it hit Uganda. We're gonna attack Uganda. What does that do? But we do that so many times. That's why when people tell me, hey, Josh, I need you to pray for me. What do you need me to pray? God knows. Then I'm not praying for you. Why did you even ask me to pray? You want me to shotgun a prayer for you? I might be praying, hey, bless Laura. Laura's like, hey, man, my eyeball fell out. I need healing. Just bless Laura with money. I don't need money. I need my eyeball put back in, or I'm blind. Have you ever, you know, we get those a lot, and I hate that. God knows my struggle. God knows what I need. Yeah, I know. But if you're going to put your business on social media or something, or you call me, give me something to fight. What am I fighting? Maturity in Christ means discerning the source so you can fight the right way. Kelvin says all the time, we fight from a place of victory, but I need to know what I am fighting. Am I fighting lust? Am I fighting the devil? Am I fighting the flesh? I got to know. I can't just be shotgunning stuff because that's just not how that works. In closing, a soldier who keeps shooting in the wrong direction will lose the battle, even if they're brave. You got to aim at the right enemy. Is it the flesh that you need to crucify, or is it the devil you need to resist? So what is our call to action? Ask the Holy Spirit to expose what's flesh and what's demonic in your life. There's some things in your life that's not the devil. It's just flesh. It's just habits. It's just as growing up and going through stuff, it's just a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up. It is something in your life that you haven't crucified. Maybe it might be money. Maybe it might be sexual stuff. Maybe it might be drinking, alcohol, cussing, whatever. Holy Spirit, what is my flesh and what is the devil? The next one is repent from areas where you've been feeding the flesh. If you're feeding the flesh, you're around people who drink, who party, or whatever. If you're feeding the flesh, repent. Holy Spirit, forgive me. Give me the grace to say no. Because sometimes it's hard. I mean, it's hard. So when the flesh, sometimes when you get too far in sin or you're doing something stupid and your flesh kind of takes over, it's hard to stop. So it's like, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I got myself in a predicament and I need a lifeline. Lastly, rebuke the devil where you've allowed him to whisper unchecked. If the enemy is speaking into your mind, if he's talking stuff, if he's bringing warfare, rebuke the devil. Let's pray.